Okay, tonight's shiur is, we mentioned that we're going to talk about basically the seder. Seder includes different things that we do night of Pesach, including the shiur, the measurements for different things that needs to be done. Okay, there are, what we know about the Seder is there are four cups of wine that are going to be drunk. The four cups of wine are there because the Torah uses four Leshonot of Geula. In Parshat Vayera, the Torah talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us out of Mitzrayim, and the Maharal says that each Lashon is another level of Geula. The pasuk says, "Ve'hotzeti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, I will take you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Ve'itzalti etchem ma'avodatam, I will save you from their work. Ve'ga'ati etchem bizro'a netuya, u'vishfatim gedolim, and I will give you Geula. I would save you with Zerah Netuyah Bishvatim Gedolim, Ve'lachachti etchem lilam, and I will take you for myself to a nation. So the Maral says that Ve'hotzeti etchem mitachat siblot Mitzrayim, I will take you out of the under the load of Mitzrayim, means that I will take you out of their hard work. But yet, you might still do easy work. You might still do the work of an Eved. You don't have to do hard work, maybe. And then it says, "Ve'itzalti etchem me'avodatam," I will save you from working for them altogether. So there will be no work. Maybe you don't work for them, but you'll still be stuck in their galut, and you'll be under their influence. "Ve'ga'ati etchem bizro'a netuyah u'shvatim gedolim," I will save you. Mizrah Netuyah will take you out of the galut, out of all the influences of them. But maybe then you'll be out of the influence of the Mitzrayim, and then you'll be hefker. No, v'lakachti etchem lilam, I will take you for me as a nation. So each one is another level of Geula. So that would tell you that once Chazal took these four Leshonot and they established four cups of wine, that tells you that what happens the night of Seder is a procession. You start from low and you go high. That is the whole idea of the whole Seder. You start from the low and you go high. So there are four cups of wine that each one is designated for one of these Leshonot that we need to drink. Four cups of wine, although generally when a person makes Kiddush for night of Shabbat or night of Yom Tov, one could be motzi everybody else, but these four cups of wine has to be drunk by all the people who are sitting at the seder. And all the people means men and ladies. Ladies are also obligated to go through the seder, and the children who are at the age of chinuch also need to drink these four cups of wine. How big are the cups supposed to be? So, halachically, the person has to drink at least the majority of the cup. Because since these cups of wine are a siman of Geula, a person has to drink either all of it, the best, or at least the majority of the cup. That's the Chatechila. So therefore, it's better for a person to take a smaller cup. This way you won't have to drink so much wine. How much is the minimum shiur of the cup? The cup has to at least be able to hold a revi'it. Revi'it is about 3 ounces. 3 fluid ounces. So, or they call it, in halacha, they call it 86 grams. 3 fluid ounces, for Sephardim, is not so hard to measure. There are measuring cups that hold 1 ounce. It's designed as 1 fluid ounce. You take 3 of those to see how big of a cup it would fill. That is the cup that's revi'it. That is the minimum of a cup that you use for Arba Kosot, and one needs to drink all of it. If not, then most of it. a person needs to drink. This is the measurement for the cups of wine, for the four cups. It should be a wine that, it should be wine, and it should be unmebushal, not mebushal. If a person cannot use wine because the alcoholic level of it bothers him, a person could use grape juice, but still lechatechila is better that it should not be mebushal. Bediavad, it means if a person cannot get a hold of non-mebushal wine or grape juice, even mebushal is good, it's okay, and a person is allowed to add up to 50% water, up to and not including, which means 49% water to the wine or the grape juice. In other words, if wine has no water in it, or if grape juice has no water in it, and it's too strong for a person, so a person could make a little bit less than half water and a little bit more than half grape juice or wine, and that would be good enough to use for the Arba Koshot. Yes.
So it could be like, is it okay if you have a higher percentage of wine?
Yes, the percentage of the alcohol makes no difference. You could have higher percentage or lower percentage of wine.
Let's say you're drinking your first cup on an empty stomach.
Right. So that's right. So a person who has a difficult time with that, you could either use.
But it's okay if you get like tipsy or whatever.
No. It is okay to get tipsy, but you have to understand the mitzvah of the night, as we talked about it, is the procession, that things would develop. So a person who would drink the first cup and he gets knocked out and he can't sit through Haggadah, or he keeps falling asleep, or his stomach is going to get a stomach problem and he can't do the Haggadah, so he's going to miss out a good chunk of the Seder.
No,
you have to be there. The idea of the Seder have to be there. If you really want to get tipsy, you could use it for the fourth cup. Okay? Fourth cup, after you said your halal, after you are into it, you could drink that cup and get tipsy and go to sleep. No problem. Ad de lo yada. Okay. Okay, well that, but, yes, a person has to keep in mind, what you bring up is a very important point, that a person has to keep in mind that there are different mitzvot that we need to do night of Pesach, and we need to keep our body, our stomach, and our mind in the right place to be able to go through those mitzvot. So, if a person is going to have a difficult time with a bit more alcohol in the beginning, so dilute it more with grape juice, or with water, or a lighter wine, and as you go on, you want to make the wine heavier, then you can do that. You know, the third cup is already after a meal, so it would not affect you as much. And coaching the fourth cup that you already done, so then you could drink that as you wish. The minhag among the Sephardim is that the bracha that we make on the first cup includes the second cup. The bracha that we make on the third cup includes the fourth cup. Ashkenazim make bore peri ha-yeven on all four cups, because they say that the time that passes in between causes a hefsek. There are seven situations the night of Pesach that one needs to do heseba. Heseba means leaning. There are the four cups. So on the four cups of wine, one needs to do heseba. And there are three times that we eat matzah, we need to do heseba. The three times of matzah is matzah, and korech, and afikoman. So, matzah, and korech, and afikoman, a person needs to also lean. Leaning, Shulchan Aruch says, Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch says, leaning means a person needs to lean on the left side. Leaning on the left side, this way his right hand is available to feed him. Leaning on the left side, Shulchan Aruch says, leaning prakdan, a person would not be yotze. So if a person leans back like this, drink, he will not be yotze. That's not called leaning. Because that's not called leaning. He wants to say, I don't know. That's not called leaning that we're talking about. The leaning of Derech Cherut is not this. The leaning of Derech Cherut is leaning on the left side. Now, leaning on the left side, the real leaning of the left side is when a person goes like this. That's the leaning of the left side. That means his left hand is supporting him. Right? That's why he's not available. And the right hand is available to feed him. Right? So, if you don't have enough room at the table to lean like this, you could turn yourself around and lean like this. Right? On the, you know, you could lean on the table. Like that. So, that's what leaning is. If a person can't lean that, a person could lean like this on the left hand, right? And, on the handle of the chair. Or, a person could lean on the armrest. A person could lean on his friend, on the, you know, his next door neighbor, right? You could lean on his shoulder, on his somewhere that you could lean on. These are the hesebas that a person needs to do. If a person forgot to do heseba for Sephardim, we say you need to go back and do the mitzvah again. So please do not forget to do heseba. Yeah, if you're in front of your rabbi, but usually you're not in front of your rabbi, but nowadays they all give permission anyway, so it's fine. You could do heseba in front of your rabbi or your father, because they give you permission to do that. Sorry?
If you didn't leave Prophet Cohen,
I'm going to get to that.
Can you turn the chair around like this?
Yeah, that's right. Anything that would give you the ability to lean on the left side. Yeah. You just have to make sure left side doesn't mean back, doesn't mean like this. That's what I'm pointing out. Leaning in the back of your chair like that, you know, like when you recline, that's not called leaning. Even though that's leaning for us when you recline, you know, lean back, relax, and enjoy your flight, right? So that's, you lean your seat back, but that's not called leaning, legabe halacha of Pesach, that's derech cherut, because that leaning is when you want to go to sleep. This leaning is when you want to eat. When you eat, you don't eat like that. When you eat, they used to lean on the left side and eat, and that's their cherut. That's why you lean in that position.
Why is there a difference for Italian?
For what?
For Italian.
Why?
In Italian could lean on his right hand?
Or should the other? Oh, Italian? No. Right. A lefty still has to lean on his left hand, because the Gemara says also, it's not only for the right hand to be available to feed you, it also is because leaning on the right hand is a sakana, because the way the kane aveshe, the esophagus and his windpipe open up, and a person might choke. So therefore, you lean on the left side, on the right side. So it doesn't matter if you're lefty or righty, you still have to lean on the left side. Okay, leaning also applies to ladies. The ladies also have a mitzvah to lean. So therefore, a person, when he sits, comes to the table, has to make sure in advance that the seats are placed such that a person would be able to lean. Right? So again, we have 7 places of leaning. There are 4 cups of wine and 3 times that a person would eat matzah. There is a very interesting halakha that is a part of Seder. And that makes it very interesting, because you'll find out why. There is one thing that Chachamim added to the Seder that we normally don't do, and that is called Karpas. Karpas is that before they sit to eat, they bring some vegetable and they dip it into something to eat it. Right? The reason that Chachamim added this part of Seder, Karpas, Gemara says, is only to create curiosity for the children. So the Kedesh Yishalu Tinokot, the kids would see that there is something strange that we are doing, that we usually don't do, and they could start asking questions, why we do that, and therefore you will be able to answer them and get into the Haggadah. So that's why Chachamim put the idea of Karpas, which is taking some vegetable and dipping it. What is that vegetable? Our minhag is to use celery. Ashkenazim have a minhag to use potato. Why potato? Because in Europe, the winter is so cold that other vegetables don't grow. That's why the only vegetables that they have are the vegetables that usually grow under the ground. That's why potato is a very popular Pesach food for the Ashkenazim, because other vegetables were not really around. That's why they use potato for karpas. That is also why they use horseradish for maror, because by the same token, lettuce was not available because it was so cold, and then the lettuce would get destroyed. So, since horseradish is a root vegetable, which is under the ground, you could keep it in the winter like potato. You could just put it, you know, buy it beforehand, put it in your storage room, and you could keep it, and it won't spoil. So therefore, they use horseradish for maror, and they use potato for karpas. But Sephardim, who lived in the countries that the climate was a little bit warmer, was better, they were able to use celery for karpas, which is, karpas is celery, and they used lettuce for maror, because that is the chatechila, as the Mishnah says.
How much karpas do they eat?
We're going to get to. So, that's why we have karpas. Now, before karpas, Chachamim established an activity. The activity is called urchatz, that means you wash your hands. The reason you wash your hands is because anytime you dip a vegetable into one of the seven liquids, right, of yachachadam, which is either wine or milk or water or honey or oil, other stuff. One of the seven liquids, a person needs to wash his hands just like when he wants to eat bread, except that you don't make a bracha on it. Now, since you're dipping karpas into vinegar, if the vinegar comes from wine, so then it's a wine vinegar, it needs that you wash your hands, so then you need to wash your hands. But if you use a different kind of vinegar, like they have apple cider or other things, then you don't need to wash your hands. But it's a part of the Seder, Urchaz, you need to wash your hands. So what do you do in order to be Mekayim Urchaz, that when you wash your hands, it is required for you to wash your hands? So you need to do one of the two things. Either you have what the Ashkenazim do, you use salt water. Salt water has water in it, so you have to wash your hands. Or if you use vinegar, you add water to it. Enough water. Some poskim say at least the majority should be water. So this way you'll be able, it becomes a vinegar water. So this way you have to wash your hands. Or you could use wine vinegar. This way you have to wash your hands. Or you could just make sure that your karpas is wet. Once your karpas is wet, you just washed it and it's already wet. Anyway, so you're going to have to wash your hands urchatz. But that is the interesting step in the Haggadah, that those days apparently people had to do it, and nowadays you're going to have to create a situation to be able to carry it. Karpas, a person is brought down, a person should eat less than a kezayit. Why less than a kezayit? Because more than a kezayit would have a share of bracha achrona. It gets into a discussion of poskim. If a person eats fruits before the meal, whether he has to make bracha achrona on them or wait and included in Birkat Hamazon. So therefore it's better to eat less than kezayit. This way you will not get involved with the shayla of Baruch HaChrona. For karpas, you don't have to lean, but if a person wants to lean, he could lean, but you don't have to lean. the shiur of eating matzah, I'm skipping ahead because I'm skipping the whole Indian of Haggadah, because after karpas comes yachas, which you break the matzah and then you say magid, right? So I'm skipping that part.
You break the middle
matzah. Yeah, you break the middle matzah, that's right.
And
small and big, right? So that's brought down, how to break it. But that these are the inyanim that a person needs to do. Now, let me just, once you mention that, I'm going to get to that soon when I get to matzah. About the broken part. So when it comes to matzah, the shiur of eating matzah, which is I think the most important part of our shiur tonight, is something that you need to pay attention to. The shiur of eating matzah is like this, that a person who, there are two types of people at the seder. There's the one who has the ki'ara in front of him, right? Now, either it's one balabai, it was one kiara, or you could have a few balabatim or a few people who have a kiara in front of them. The one who makes a motzi on the kiara, according to halacha, he has to eat two kezetim of matzah. One kezait for hamotzi, and one kezait for the bracha of alachilat matzah. So, since he's the one who made hamotzi, he has to eat the kezait from hamotzi. He should also eat the kezait matzah for the mitzvah of matzah. Those others who are being yotze with him, they do not have to eat a kezait of hamotzi. All they have to eat is one kezait of matzah. Right? So therefore, the one who makes hamotzi, he has to eat two kezetim. The one who, everybody else who did not make hamotzi, one kezait is enough. Okay? And then a person needs one kezait for korech, which is one kezait of matzah for korech. And a person needs lechatechila two kezetim of matzah for afikoman. So it comes out that every regular person would eat three kezetim of matzah. Four kezetim of matzah. One for hamotzi, one for korech, and two for afikoman. And the one who makes hamotzi will have five kezetim of matzah. Two for motzi matzah, one for korech, and two for afikoman. If a person has a hard time eating two kezetim of matzah for afikoman, because that's already at the end of the meal, and you already ate, and you already had matzah, and moror, and korech, and all that, he can have two kezetim of matzah, that's fine. He will only need to have one. Okay? So the bare minimum matzah that one needs to eat is three kezetim. One kezait for hamotzi, that's matzah. One kezait for korech, and one kezait for afikoman. The reason I'm pointing this out is if there are older people, or ladies, or children, those who are not able to eat so much matzah, you need to know what bare minimum is. The bare minimum is one kezait for matzah, one kezait for korech, and one kezait for afikoman. How much is a kezait? How much is a kezait? Okay. Now, how much is a kezait? The minhag of Sephardim all along has been that they consider 28 grams as one kezait. 28 grams generally is half of a round hand mat. Generally. Because generally, and you could check that out, 8 round matzahs go into 1 pound. When you buy a pound of matzah, generally there are 8 matzahs in that 1 pound. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. You have to adjust it. But generally there are 8. If there are 8 matzahs in 1 pound, right, it comes out that each matzah is 2 kezetim. Each matzah comes out to be 1 kibetzah, which is 2 kezetim. So it comes out that half of a matzah is more or less about 28 grams. So the minhag of Sephardim has been that a kezait is 28 grams, and therefore half of matzah, if there are 8 matzahs in 1 pound, half of matzah will be a kezait. This way, it's easy to measure. You don't need to have a scale and keep weighing it or not weighing it. So half a matzah, and if there is more than 8 matzahs in a pound, that means matzahs are lighter, so you add a little bit more than half. If there are less than 8 matzahs in a pound, means matzahs are heavier, so you make less than half. Well, you adjust it, half and maybe a little bit, or half and maybe a little bit less. Okay, that is a kezait. So one needs to eat half a matzah, the chatechila, half a matzah for hamotzi, half a matzah for korech, and two kezetim, if he can, for afikoman. Now, this is where things are going to get a little bit confusing, and you need to pay attention. Okay? I'm not going to go into the details of why I'm telling you this shiurim. If you want, I could explain to you afterwards, because I want to make it more simple, not not confusing. For people who are able to eat matzah normally, nicely, no problem. Okay? Every time you eat two kezetim of matzah, every time you eat two kezetim of matzah, which is two situations. A, the one who makes hamotzi has to eat two kezetim. Or, all those who eat two kezetim for afikoman. All these situations, two-thirds of a matzah is enough for the two kezetim situation. Even though we said it's zayit, kezayit is half a matzah, and therefore two kezetim will be two halves, which is a whole matzah, but you don't need to be machmir that much. Two-thirds of a matzah is enough. So any time that a person eats two kezetim, two-thirds of a matzah is enough. Okay? That's one. Two. For motzi matzah, everybody else who eats one kezayit would eat half a matzah. If it's an old man or old lady or somebody who has a difficult time eating that much matzah, third of a matzah is enough. If somebody who really has a hard time, third of a matzah is enough. Okay? Because there are those cheaters who hold a third of a matzah is kezayit. So that would be enough. For korech, a third of a matzah is enough for everybody. Because korech is only the rabbanah. Matzah, the first kezayit, is the horaita. So that's why lechatechila, everybody should eat half a matzah. And those who can't, so they can't. But for korech, everyone could eat only half a third of matzah. They could be somech on a smaller shiur, which is a third. And for afikoman, for sure, 2 1-thirds is enough for afikoman, for those who eat two kezetim. And if they only eat one kezayit, 1/3 is enough. Because anything that's the rabbanan, you could be somech on a smaller shiur. For the deoraita, it's better to be yotze the bigger shiur. Right? However, if a person can eat more, if a person can eat for korech half a matzah, or for motzi matzah, a whole matzah, that's what he wants to do, and he can do that, kol hakavod, no problem. But you see, many situations, people have a hard time eating so much matzah, so therefore, lechatechila, a kezayit should be considered as half, especially for the first kezayit, which is the oraita, and the rest of it, if a person can't do it, he could do a third. Consider a third of a matzah for motzi matzah. I'm sorry, not for motzi matzah, for a kezayit.
Are you supposed to have two kezayit or one kezayit, right? Motzi matzah.
For motzi matzah, if you are the one who makes hamotzi, you're supposed to have two. If you're not the one who makes hamotzi, you only need to have one. For afikomen, the chatechila, everyone needs to have two, unless they can't, so then one is enough. Okay. One more
time.
Yes, that's correct. Right. If a person won't be able to eat it, it's better to be mechabed somebody else to make hamotzi, the one who could eat two kezetim.
And for Holland, we have to.
Yeah, I'm going to get to this. Okay. So, but that this is the amount of matzah that one needs to eat. If a person has a difficult time eating matzah dry, there is nothing wrong with making matzah wet. Making matzah wet means you make it wet, you run it under cold water, and you let it sit, it will soften up. Right? You run it under the water, you shake it up, so the water will drip, then you let it sit, wrap a towel around it, and you let it sit, it will soften up. And once it softens up, it will be like a pita. You just roll it up and eat it easily. It also makes the time of eating it faster, which we're going to talk about timing soon. Make the time of eating it faster. So that could be done. Now, Ovadia says that if a person is weak or old, or doesn't have enough teeth to be able to chew, even that situation, so he could make sort of a cereal with matzah. I mean, he would break it into some kind of a water and eat it with a spoon. Cereal of matzah cereal in water, because if they're old, they need some water to go with it, they could do that. But if there are people who, this is only b'diavad, if they cannot do it, Rav Avadia says, they should do it like that. But what I was telling you, to make it wet and let it sit and then you roll it up, that's even lechatechila. There's nothing wrong with that, one can do that and eat it more easily if
you want.
No. The taste of matzah has to stain, the person has to taste the matzah. Even the Gemara says, Bala matzah yatzah, by lechatechila, a person should have the taste of matzah. Have the taste of matzah, so therefore you should not dip it into other things. Adding a little bit salt for hamutzi is fine. Yeah, do that then. Okay. How long do you have time to eat that kazait of matzah? The kazait of matzah needs to be eaten the chatechila in 2 minutes. If a person can't do it in 2 minutes, then you'll do it in 4 minutes. Okay? If a person couldn't do it in 4 minutes and he had to do it in 7 minutes, that's also fine. Older people can do it.
Also 2 minutes?
No. One kazait. Because the shiur of achilat pras is kazait with the achilat pras. So if you have 2 kazetim, 1 kazait of it should be in 2 minutes.
You have to eat the whole thing in 4 minutes or only 1 kazait in 2 minutes?
No, only 1 kazait in 2 minutes. And that, right, that's the shiur that's given. So that kazayit should be eaten in 2 minutes.
Alright, is this the same halacha for bread? Like during the year?
Yes.
2 minutes?
One kazayit of it should be eaten in 2 minutes. So when you make hamotzi during the year, the first kazayit doesn't have to be in 2 minutes. Let's say you eat it slowly. But at some point during the meal, in order for you to be able to bench, a kazayit has to be eaten in 2 minutes.
So the timer doesn't start from the first...
First moment, that's right. It doesn't. For matzah though, it does.
Oh, okay.
Because since you make a bracha of motzi matzah, that's a bracha that you make. You need to be mekayim. It's a bigger mitzvot. Al achilat matzah. Asher kishon b'sotzo al achilat matzah. Bigger mitzvot. So before the mitzvah, you made a bracha. So therefore you immediately have to be mekayim the mitzvah lechatchila. In order to be mekayim the mitzvah immediately, you need to eat that kazait in 2 minutes. I'll tell you the nafkamina. Nafkamina will be like this. What happens if a person who makes hamotzi, the one who has the kiara, he makes hamotzi, right? So generally he makes hamotzi and he eats a little bit and he gives that to other people. Right? And then he could sit and eat the rest of his thing. He's not going to eat 2 minutes his thing and everybody's waiting and watching him. Right? So, what he could do is eat a little bit in order that his bracha should be chal and he won't talk. Right? And then he gives that matzah to everybody else who's gonna eat. And then he takes his kazait and he sets the clock, so to speak, for 2 minutes and he starts eating his kazait.
So you can start really whenever.
Right. So in other words, you have to, as much as possible, not to be mafsik. It has to be samuch as much as possible, but you have to give out matzah to other people. But your 2 minutes starts from the beginning of the kazait till the end of the kazait. You don't count the 2 minutes from the beginning when I put that little piece in my mouth, right? And now I was busy a minute and a half giving out matzah to everybody else. Now I have 30 seconds, just so you don't have to do that, right? The kazait that you're ready to eat, for that kazait, it has to be within 2 minutes.
And the other people has to receive it.
Right. As soon as, from the moment that they start eating it, till they finish eating it, has to be 2 minutes. The chatechila 2 minutes. If it's 4 minutes, it's also fine. And I mentioned, if it's a person has a difficult time, post kimala 7 minutes. Right.
And
if it gets heavy, stuck in your mouth, then yes, you could drink water. There is a chumrah that Mishnah Berurah brings, which you have to be careful if you're going to do it. How are you going to do it? Mishnah Berurah says that a person should not only eat that kazait within 2 minutes, it's a mitzvah min hamufkar that he should swallow that kazait in one shot. Swallow that kazait in one shot means that you keep chewing the matzah and keeping it in your mouth, right? As you chew it more and more, you keep it in your mouth. When you have one kazait, right, in your mouth, and you chew it and it's ready to swallow, you swallow all of it in one shot. And we do not usually recommend people to do that because since they don't always know exactly how much a kazait is, and they could choke on it, chas v'shalom, and they could get stuck, they don't want to do that. But if you make your matzah wet, as I said before, then that halacha is not so difficult. You could make a kazait of it and easily chew it and swallow it in one shot. But I might say again, you don't have to make yourself, you don't have to put yourself at danger.
You do that.
Huh? You try. You know, as long as you don't choke, you try to do that.
Are you allowed to eat or drink anything
before Motzi Matzah? That's a very good question. Okay. You're allowed to eat or drink things before Motzi Matzah only if those things are helping you to stay awake and stay involved during Haggadah. You also have to keep in mind you don't want to drink too much of it because drinking too much of it will again bring you about the Shaila Baruch Achrona. So you don't want to drink too much or eat too much. It's brought down if a person needs a cup of tea because they're falling asleep or something, then it's fine. You could
Just like tangs on the table.
Yes, it's something that just to keep you awake. You could do that, right? Again, but it's better not to. Obviously, you're gonna have to make shakul on it, right? But it's still better not to eat too much of it so you won't have any shayla or bracha. Okay. Now, when it comes to hamotzi, I mentioned, which is an important thing to keep in mind, unlike all Shabbat and other Yomim Tovim that we have, Lech and Mishnah, we have 2 challahs or 2 loaves of bread, for matzah we have 3. The reason we have 3 is because since the bracha of Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah Mitzvahnu Al Achila Al Matzah needs to be said on Lechem Oni, a poor man's bread, and a poor man's bread is, that's why we break the matzah, to show that a poor man, his bread is usually not whole, it's broken. So our bracha of Al Achila Al Matzah goes on that matzah which is broken. The problem is, you need the Lechem Mishneh, it's Yom Tov. And the Lechem Mishneh of Yom Tov needs to be whole. So that's why we take 3 matzahs. One of them is broken for Motzi Matzah, and the other 2 are whole for Lechem Mishneh. Okay? And therefore, the way Hamotzi is said is that you take all 3 of them together for Lechem Mishneh, because you have the top and the bottom which is whole for Lechem Mishneh. You make Hamotzi, then you put down the bottom one, because the ikar, the brach of hamotzi, you're going to take from the top, and alachilat matzah you're going to take from the broken, and on those 2 you make alachilat matzah and you break it and you eat it. So during hamotzi you hold all 3 matzahs, and for alachilat matzah you leave the bottom one, you hold the 2 top ones, and you make alachilat matzah and you eat the kazait of each. Now, kazait of each usually is not possible because the broken one is usually not a kazait. Because broken one is a smaller piece of the 2. You break the middle matzah to 2 parts. The bigger one you keep for afikoman. The smaller one is you put in there, right? And we said before that each matzah is about 2 kazetim. A smaller one comes out to be a little bit less than kazait. Possibly. If you say kazait is half a matzah. So then comes out that, and you give some of that to other people too. Right? So you're going to have a problem. You're not going to have enough. Right? So it's okay, you give a little bit of that matzah, a little bit of that matzah that you made bracha on to people, and you have another whole box of matzah that you give each one a kezayit that they will eat. The best thing to do is to give out the matzahs that they're gonna eat before you make hamotzi, whoever is gonna make hamotzi. So when they wash their hands and they're gonna come sit down, right? So you give out half of the matzahs to everyone, this way they have the half of matzah that they're gonna be yotze with, right? Ready by them. Then, the one who makes hamotzi, he quickly gives each one a little piece of the two matzahs that he made hamotzi on, right? The top one and the middle one, gives a little piece to everyone. He eats a little bit first. He has to eat a little bit of it. So the bracha should be chat. Then he gives a little piece to everyone. Now everyone has their matzahs, and he has his matzahs. He's gonna sit and eat. This way there wouldn't be a big delay between his bracha and everyone eating matzah. He doesn't have to stop and keep pulling matzahs out of the box. That he has already done. He has already given their matzahs to them. All he needs to give them is a little bit matzah from the Lechem Mishnah. The one that he made bracha on. And this way they eat that, and they eat the rest of the matzah, and everybody does it. That would take care of the motzi matzah. For maror and for korech, we use a kezayit of lettuce. Kezayit of lettuce is usually one nice size leaf. Is usually a kezayit. If you don't know how much it is, you could have a scale and weigh one of them, and it's fine. How much is a kezayit? As I mentioned to you, the minhag is 28 grams, right, which is 1 ounce. But halachically, any amount more than 20 grams is enough. So any amount, 18 grams, 19 grams, 20 grams, and up is enough. So, but usually people have no problem eating maror because it's easier to eat it. And for korech, you also have kezayit of maror and kezayit of matzah. One thing that people, is brought down in halacha and people are not careful about is that when you dip maror into charoset, right, you don't feast on the charoset, okay? You could feast on the charoset afterwards. The dipping of the maror in the charoset, it accomplishes two things, the Gemara says. Every time you eat a vegetable, you need to dip it into something because apparently the vegetable has some kind of a chemical which is not good for a person, and you dip it, that does something to the chemical. Whatever it is. Gemara says you should dip it. That's A. And why do we dip it into charoset? Because charoset looks like mud and is a zecher for the mud that Klal Yisrael made, the bricks that they made in Mitzrayim. Also, charoset is made out of all the different fruits that Klal Yisrael is compared to. What are they?
No.
You have shekedim, right? You have tamarim, tapuach, right? You have dates and shekedim, the almonds, nuts. Right, egozim and tapuach and apples, and they put pomegranate in there. They add some wine and vinegar just to make a tart.
In
the charoset,
it's spice.
And they add some spice to make it look like mud. That's what they add. That's what they add cinnamon to make it look like mud. So dipping in it accomplishes these two things: A, that it should cancel out anything that lettuce, any damage that lettuce might cause, A, and B, that it should look like a mud. So, but halacha is that the taste of maror, the bitterness of maror, has to be tasted in the mouth. The Gemara says, bala matzah yatza, bala maror lo yatza. A person who swallows matzah without chewing it is yotze, because the din is eating it. But a person who swallows maror without chewing it is not yotzeh, because you have to taste the bitterness of maror. So you don't want the charoset to take away the bitterness of maror. So when you dip it in the charoset, you can't just scoop up. It's not chips and salsa that you just scoop up a whole chunk.
It's not bitter, like it tastes
good. No. If you eat it, there's a certain bitterness in it. You don't have to be bothered by the bitterness. It doesn't have to be horseradish. Okay? As long as there's a zecher of the maror, the merirut of it.
Why do you have a lot? Why do you have a lot?
Because I would take away the flavor of bitterness, of marv. You don't want that flavor to be covered. That bitterness to be covered. And this applies to korech too. Right? The korech also, you don't put so much charoset on the motzi matzah. On the korech. You don't put so much charoset on the matzah and maror on the korech for the same reason. Afterwards, if you like to eat more charoset, kol hakavod, you could do as you wish.
Side question: did Hillel just do
korek
and he didn't have the regular?
Yes, Hillel made the drasha. His drasha was that Hillel lived at the time of Beit HaMikdash, right? So they had Korban Pesach. So his drasha was, since the pasuk says al matzot umrorim yochluhu, right? So therefore he figured that the way to do it is everything has to be sandwiched together. Because this al matzot umrorim yochlu. Korban Pesach has to be eaten al matzot umrorim. On matzah and maror. That's how it should be eaten. So that's how Hillel ate it. Why don't we eat it like that? Why do we say zechel Hillel azaken? Right? Why don't we just do it like that? Because nowadays, matzah is the oraita. The chiyuv eating matzah is the oraita. Chiyuv eating maror is the rabbanan. And we don't want the taste of maror to interfere with the taste of matzah. Because the taste of matzah is the chiyuv the oraita. Min haTorah, you don't really have to eat maror nowadays, that we don't have Korban Pesach. So since min haTorah, we don't have to eat maror nowadays. So therefore, you want to have to be mekayim the mitzvah, the oraita of matzah, by itself. That's why we eat matzah by itself, we eat maror by itself, and then we eat it together as a zecher of what the Hillel did, that this is the real way of being mekayim the mitzvah of in the Korban Pesach as a sandwich.
Why not nowadays?
Huh?
Why not nowadays?
Why?
We don't
because nowadays, because maror is a din in achilat Korban Pesach. Right? The Torah doesn't say eat maror. Torah says when you eat Korban Pesach, you have to eat it with matzah and maror. So matzah and maror are conditions in Korban Pesach. We don't have Korban Pesach. We mainly don't have matzah and maror. Min haTorah. But I just mentioned to you matzah is the oraita. Because matzah, there is another mitzvah. To eat matzah. Separately from Korban Pesach. There are two mitzvahs of eating matzah the night of Pesach. One mitzvah is to eat matzah because the pasuk says be'erev tochlu matzot. At night you eat matzah. It's a din, it's a halacha to eat matzah. There is also another halacha that when you eat Korban Pesach, you need to eat it with matzah. And maror. There is no Korban Pesach, there is no second mitzvah of matzah and maror. But we have the first mitzvah of matzah. Right? So that's why nowadays it's not the oraita, because unfortunately we do not have Korban Pesach, that's right. And I mentioned to you that the taste of matzah should be tasted, lechatechila. If b'diavad the person swallowed it without tasting it, it's okay. But lechatechila, he has to chew it and he has to taste it, he has to enjoy it. So therefore, we do not want the maror to take away the taste of matzah. Okay, what else did we have to cover? Okay. Another area that people are not careful with, which is very important, is after they eat their matzah and maror and shulchan orech, and they say birkat hamazon, and they drink the third cup, they say goodnight. No, they don't say goodnight, they just fall asleep. Because they have now a full stomach, and another cup of wine on top of that, and now they fall asleep. The climax of night of Seder is, as I said, it's a procession. You go, you build up. The climax of night of Seder is the Hallel that we see at the end. Because what we do night of Pesach is, we talk about where we were poor, and then we became, you know, we were avadim, we were poor, we were under pressure, we all that. And Hashem brought us out, and Hashem gave us who we are, made us who we are. And Hashem made so many miracles, and He punished the Mitzrayim so much, and we go through all those things. So at the end, we'll come to praise Hashem. Right? This is exactly what is reflected in the bracha of the second cup. Right? We said that bracha before we do motzi matzah. The bracha is ve'igyonu alayla hazeh le'echol bo matzah u'maror. And then we ask Hashem that Ken Hashem Elokeinu ke avotenu hagienu le'moadim galim acherim. Hashem should give us an opportunity to reach other moadim, and we should go to Eretz Yisrael. And we will be able to praise you, say thank you to you. Shir chadash al geulatenu v'alpidut nafshenu. We should give another shir chadash on the geula atida that we will have, right? But meanwhile, we have to say shira on the situation that Hashem has given us. On that we say before the bracha we say lefikach. Therefore, once we've gone through the whole Haggadah, once we understood what Hashem has done for us, anachnu chayavim lehodod lehalel leshabeach lefaer, we are obligated to give thanks and praise to Hashem for all the nisim that Hashem did for us. He took us out of Mitzrayim, and He from Shibud the Geula, Umiyagon leSimcha, veNomar leFanav Aleluka. So we will say praise, we say Hallel in front of Him. So what we've done has reached us to this level, so we could say Hallel, not to eat and drink and fall asleep. So it's brought down. Therefore, when it gets to after the third cup, when people are a bit, what do you call it, tipsy? You said tipsy, right? Because people are a little bit tipsy, and people are a little bit tired, so Rav Ovadia speaks out, Poskim speaks out, Rav Ovadia says it clearly, let me read you the Lashon, that is very important. Yesh le'orer et kol ha'mesubim, you should arouse all the people who are sitting there, sheyomru ha'halel beit la'avut, to say Hallel with excitement. They shouldn't read through Hallel and they dozing off and falling asleep. Coach again, they should not do it with joking around and being tipsy, so they're a little bit more, you know, kalut rosh. They should not do that. Not rushing through it quickly. Not like that. Rather, you should do it with excitement, because that is the climax of the night of Seder. So a person should keep that in mind.
What does Shir Chadash mean?
Shir Chadash means the new Shira that we haven't made yet. We'll make it then. No, that's not Shir Chadash. That's when Mashiach comes. We'll make Shir Chadash. A new song that was not sung yet. It has to be sung. It hasn't made yet. Because on every new Geula you say Shira. When you have a new Geula, we're going to have a Shir Chadash. Right? Because the Geula Chadash, you have a Shir Chadash. Okay, so basically this is the Seder HaDevarim of Haggadah. Now, I skipped, as I told you, the whole Magid part, because the Magid part has its own Shir.
Very much. You could translate the Haggadah.
One can read the Haggadah in any language that he wants, yes. As long as he understands and others understand, and the translation is correct, it could be done in any languages.
So, do you have to pronounce every word?
Yes, a person is mechuyav to go through Haggadah. Are you mechuyav to pronounce every word?
Or if you just read it like a long, or could you, someone, could you like people, like going around the table, one guy says one paragraph, one guy says another paragraph?
Yes. One, as long others need to listen and be yotzer. So Rav Ovadia mentions that out, that it is possible for one read and others to listen and be yotzer. Min hadin, a person does not have to go through Haggadah word by word. What I mean, min hadin means to miyotze mitzvah deoraita ve'igata levincha, you don't have to go through the Haggadah. Okay? But since Haggadah is like Sidur, organized, the format of a Sidur, the same way when you daven, you say every word of Tefillah, so when it comes to Haggadah, you say every word of Haggadah. Right? So you don't just skip around and, okay, talking about this and about that. It's important that you should say it. But not everyone has to say it, as long as the listening to it is good enough.
No, but in a magazine, that's, what, in a, what's this? Yeah, some, they put your mind, or they put yourself in a letter.
You do what?
For example,
yeah, whatever, it's brought down, that's the mirror that's brought down to do, and all these things we do. The way it says in all the Haggadahs, yeah, once you have the Haggadah, you follow through, what it says you do, you do.
Who wrote the Haggadah?
Who wrote the Haggadah is a very good question. The exact Haggadah that we have, it's a very good question. Who wrote it? We do not have any name for him. They refer to him as Baal Haggadah. Right? Baal Haggadah means the one who wrote the Haggadah, who put the Haggadah together. But it's clear that it was apparently one of the, it goes back probably to the time of Amoraim, or maybe before the Gaonim, that they wrote Haggadah. The pieces of Haggadah, the information, the Lashonot, that are in the Haggadah, are, many of them are collected from Divrei Chazal, Midrashim, and different things, different places. But the Seder HaDevarim, and the way it's formatted and was made, they refer to as Baal Haggadah, the one who put it together. Okay, but it's been around. It's been around from before the time of Rishonim. Rishonim already have Perushim and Haggadah. Some Gaonim have Perushim and Haggadah. So that goes back already from their time.
Do they have Shira
Chadasha
for Ezra?
That was not Shira Chadasha. Did they have a Shira? I guess they must have had it, I guess. I don't know who made it, but I'm sure they had it. Right? One Shira was Megillah. Megillah itself, Gemara says, Kiriya Zohirula. Reading of it is the Halel of it. Okay, it's not Shir the way it's supposed to be Shir. Megillah is. But they're Shirim. They're,
In a galut, we don't say
Halal. Right. Okay, and by the way, the ladies are also need to be included in Haggadah, because they also mechuyav in saying the Haggadah, and therefore the ladies also have to either read it or listen to it or say it or talk about it and all that. Two more halachas I tell you and we stop. One halacha is Rav Ovadia brings down that a person should not speak. That's going to be a difficult halacha. During Haggadah. Asur lehafsik bedibur behemsa Haggadah. Rak lesor gadol. Why? The reason is because a person might get carried away with talking and it becomes a chalut rosh and they're not going to pay attention. It's a serious situation. ונכון להחמיר גם כן שלא לעשן סיגריות, we don't smoke anyway. don't smoke. But a person should not get involved with stamp schmoozing during the Haggadah. Obviously you could talk about the Siyad Mitzrayim, that's the whole point of it. But stamp schmooze about politics and about this and that. And the other thing, Rav Ovadia says it's asur to do it unless the tzorech gadol. That's one halacha. The other halacha about speaking is, from the time that a person makes the bracha of motzi matzah, a person should not speak till after korech. Why? Because the bracha goes on hamotzi, right? And since we do zecher lehilel, we do korech together, right? So we want that bracha to include the matzah of korech also. Because we eat matzah in two forms. We eat it separate, and we eat it with maror. We also eat maror in two forms. We eat it separate, and we eat it with matzah, in korech. So therefore, the bracha of matzah goes all the way till after korech, and the bracha of maror goes till after, all the way after korech. Therefore, they should make sure as much as possible not to speak during the time of eating. L'chat achila is better not to speak till after korech. Because zecher means that you want to be mekayim it the way you were mekayim it. So since you include it into that idea of this is how you eat matzah, this is how you eat maror, so the bracha goes on that too.
After Afi Roman,
yeah, you could drink water if you want. You could drink
tea, no?
Tea if you need to, but you should not eat anything.
You can't drink
wine. Huh? You don't drink wine after the fourth cup because we don't want to look like it's marbebe ala cups.
Before the fourth cup, you could drink wine, right?
Before the fourth cup, you could drink wine during the meal, yes.
They have non-religious family.
What do you mean?
It's Yom Tov and
non-religious people. Non-religious people, as long as they're going to keep the halachot, you could fight. You can invite going, but non-religious people.
You have to have a mushal wine if you have non-religious people.
Right. If you have non-religious people, you need to have a mushal wine. Going, a person cannot invite them on Yom Tov.
How about if it's going to be a... I'm going to say that's
my other
relative is going,
and my relative. So, this year is Shabbat, so Shabbat is okay. This is the first day. But
they call it Jewish, let's say.
Right. So, Shabbat is okay, but Yom Tov, General Yom Tov, you cannot invite Goyim. If they show up on their own and they come and they eat your food, that's fine, but you don't specifically
invite
the husband and...
She ends up coming, so what can you do?
Is it chiyuv to speak about this every time to end your morning?
Is it chiyuv? No, it's a good thing.
Tefer asleep?
Huh?
Tefer asleep?
Till a person falls asleep, yeah. Should either talk about it or think about it till he falls asleep. It's the right thing to do.
Right thing.
You don't have to stay up till the morning. But a person should be involved till he falls asleep. If you is not, if you didn't do it, did an avera. I'm just saying it's a good thing to do. Because Shira Shirim is a Shira of a relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kiran Israel. And no better time for that relationship than Pesach, because that's when our relationship started. That's why the Ashkenazim, on the Shabbat of Pesach, which this year is going to be on the Shemini Shel Pesach, on that Shabbat they're going to read Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, yeah. Well, no, there were those who read it from the Mekillah, there are those who read it from the Sefer. The Ashkenazim read that, because that's the time of Shir HaShirim, that's the time of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. Huh?
Sit down there for the interview.